Welcome to the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast with your co-hosts Teague Benwick and Steve Lurkwood.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast. I'm your host, Teague Fenwick, coming to you from Holman. Joining me, as always, from Waterloo is my co-host, Steve Lurkwin. Steve, great to be here.
Hey, always excited to be here. Excited for this one, Teague. Big week for you last week, though, huh? Come back from the state wrestling tournament. I'm sorry, the state. Oh, man, I got wrestling in my mind. State track meet, right? I saw you got some Dippin' Dots, kept the tradition alive.
Yeah, that was the first of about four rounds that weekend.
Here's the big story, Teague. Did anybody buy you Dippin' Dots, or did you have to purchase your own?
Not this time. There's not as many track fans as familiar with the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast, so it is what it is there.
I think my son thinks it's sweet that you go to the whole state tournament without buying any Dippin' Dots.
It's one of my biggest accomplishments, I'd say. It's how I know I'm doing things right. But, Steve, as you can tell, I got a little sun here, state track weekend. Obviously, unlike wrestling, the weather gets to you a little bit. But yesterday, I couldn't move without being in pain. It reminded me, like, how we can't record after individual state the day after because right. We're just kind of completely out of it. And we have to go 2 days after individual state wrestling before we talk about it. And it's funny because after that podcast, we talked about our guest that we're going to have on tonight, one of our guests that we're going to have on tonight. And now here we are, 2 days removed from state track, and we actually have him on the show. Steve, we're concluding our four-time state champion series tonight with our 26th four-timer in WIAA state history. Let's introduce our guest of honor, Illinois wrestling commit, Braden Scholes. Braden, glad to have you on, man.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Should be a fun one. And we sometimes call, I don't know if we've done it on air, we call Braden the Silent Assassin. So we got someone to do a little mic work, help with a little mic work here tonight. We got Coach Scott Rhodes on it tonight. This is his 11th year. He finished his 11th year coaching at Kewaskum. And Scott, I don't know, Steve, I don't know if we're killing the joke here, but Scott, aside from, you know, coaching at team sectional qualifiers, having a four-time state champion, you can now add recurring guest of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast to your resume.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, I've been waiting every week for the phone call. So finally got it. Thanks, guys.
Recurring status, Teague. Oh, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks.
Well, Braden, we like to start off all our four-timers with the same question or just with the same prompt, but pretty easy one here. Let's just hear your wrestling story, man, from the first day you started wrestling, and we'll just get through the whole career up until now.
Yeah, so I probably started wrestling when I was 4 or 5, somewhere in there, just at our local club, the KIWC. Like the other younger kids, that was anything special. I enjoyed the sport, and that was about it. And then I moved into wrestling for Scott at Domination, and he tortured me there for a few years. And then I moved on to some different clubs. And then probably 6th, 7th grade, I started coming to AWA and Mequon. And still, like, middle school wasn't, like, crazy successful or anything. You know, I was a good wrestler, but I wasn't crazy successful or anything like that. But and then 8th grade freshman year, I started having a little more success. Won state my freshman year. Placed a couple times at nationals and stuff throughout high school. What else? Committed to the University of Illinois last summer. And now I'm graduated high school and moving on to college soon. So I guess that's my story in a nutshell.
Oh, well, hey, there it is, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Wisconsin Wrestling. No, we're going to back up a little bit here, Braden. Let's talk about youth a little more here. So it's funny because I think probably like your perspective of success and our perspective of success is a little different here. So I guess putting a tangible thing on it, you know, when did you start qualifying for state and youth? When did you start seeing, you know, the work you put in kind of, you know, come out in results?
Yeah, so I qualified for state. I remember, it's just funny because when you're in the youth wrestling, it's like the most important thing to you at the time. But looking back, it's like, it means nothing to you. And it's like, who really cares about a little tournament, you know? But I probably qualified for state starting in like second, third grade. And then I remember I placed a few times. The first time I won was in, I think, sixth grade. I won youth state twice in middle school. I won sixth and eighth. But I don't know. I wasn't real good competing when I was younger. I didn't enjoy it. But yeah, I'd say probably middle school is when I started kind of standing out above, like, you know, the average wrestlers to like above average. So I'd say that's probably when I started standing out.
And Scott, you have a unique perspective here. I know every coach who has a four-timer, they know they have someone good coming in to some extent. You know, we don't know exactly what that could be yet, but you got to work with Braden in your club. When did you start to realize that he could be a special wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, he was special from the start, not only just being a little dude with just guns and being chiseled his entire life, which was pretty awesome, but I mean, he was just locked in, you know, when it comes to practice and you see a lot of kids kind of on edge about, am I going to be childish here? Is this goof around time or whatever? And just never saw anything but just laser beam eyes out of Braden all the time. So you could tell he's just really into learning the sport. I also remember like we worked on some tilts and such. And you know, I was always careful at how young we went with that. But then I remember like one of the next tournaments, Braden just goes out and tilt. And it was really awesome to see. He just had no fear in any of those positions. And that plays through the way he so wrestles now. Like he's very comfortable in the most awkward positions of wrestling. And I saw that early on. So
it's funny that you brought up that he was locked into practice, and Braden, you brought up that you didn't really like competing at first, because one of the fun facts that someone told me was that you do like practice more than competing. And A, I need to know if that's true. B, I just need to hear a little bit more about that philosophy, because I know even myself, I think 99% of kids that I've, you know, trained with, worked with, you know, coached, they look forward more to the competition than anything. Just take us through your mindset of, you know, why you enjoy practice more.
Yeah. I've talked to a lot of people about that. I've had that conversation with a lot of people, and I think I am probably pretty unique in that sense. But to me, it's like, I really enjoy the sport of wrestling. I really enjoy getting better. I really enjoy working on things and improving my game. But as far as competing, it's just like, I don't feel like I gain a lot from it. You know, like I don't enjoy winning that much. Like I like winning like anybody else, but it doesn't bring any, like it doesn't make me happy for a long time. You know, it's like that little spike of joy and it's like, then it's gone. But on the other hand, I really hate losing. Like I'm not a good loser. I really hate it. Like it tears me apart every time it happens. So it was like going into every tournament, it was like, okay, best case scenario, I win this tournament. I'm happy for 10 minutes and then it's, you know, it's nothing, you know, everyone cares for a little bit and then everyone doesn't care again, you know, the worst case scenario, I lose and I end up, you know, really mad at myself for the rest of the day, the rest of the weekend, whatever it is, I end up really torn up, heartbroken. So it was like, for me, that balance in competing, I just never, I never really liked that. But on the other hand, like practice, it was every day I was getting better. And if I lost, it wasn't a big deal because it didn't mean anything, you know? So yeah, and I'm still that way to this day, but it's something I'm working on because you can't win NCAA titles in the practice room, you know. So yeah, it's something I'm definitely working on in my mind every day.
Wow, that's growth mindset to the max right there. That's an amazing way to think about it. And with that mindset, I guess coming into high school, first question would be, when did you first think that you could be a four-time state champion? We'll get that question out of the way first here.
Yeah. Honestly, like I did an interview with RQ, which I know you guys know. I did that in the beginning of the season, but being a four-timer is never like a goal of mine necessarily, which people are probably going to not like that I said that, but whatever. It was never like a goal of mine. I never like looked at it. The first time I probably realized I could do it was obviously after your freshman year, right? You win your first one, but it wasn't necessarily me like, hey, that's the next thing, you know? It was more so everyone else around me was like, hey, you can be a four timer. Like you got three more to go and this and that. And that was every year. But like, as far as me, obviously, like I always knew I could do it, you know, after you win the first one, I'd say. So I always knew I could do it after that point, but it wasn't necessarily something that I was super focused on, but that everyone else was really aware of around me.
And yeah, we'll get more in depth on winning that first state title, because you look at the results, that was the toughest one. And it makes sense given who you were facing on the other side of the mat. But I'm going back to this growth mindset and liking practice more. And, you know, if you're not a big fan of competition, what goals did you set for yourself, or how did you go about that goal process? Because a lot of people, when they set goals, they kind of use those competitive results as their benchmark. So what do you do? What's your process when you're setting goals?
A lot of it is just you measure yourself by the guys you're in the room, right? So like when I was younger, I wrestled a lot with Matty Bianchi, who was another four-timer, but a really good friend of mine. I wrestled a lot with him when he was younger. But when I was in like, he's what, 2 years older than me. So when I was in like elementary, middle school, he always kicked my butt. Right. So like, that was my goal every day. It was like, can I get a goal, takedown on Matty Bianchi? Like he's so good. He keeps his butt down. Like what do I got to do to get a takedown? So then it like transitions into, okay, if I can figure out how to beat him, like I can figure out how to beat everyone that wrestles like him. So that translates into competing, and not in a direct way where like I was focused on winning a state title or a national title, but I was focused on figuring these people out in my room. And that helped me figure out everyone else that wrestled that same way.
Then, everything else competition wise has kind of laid itself out then. That's awesome stuff, man. So going into freshman year, you're interesting compared to the other four timers we had, and that you're the only one that didn't win a state title at 106, as even though my outline originally said that. So you came in and you were wrestling 145, 152, which is a tough weight class for freshmen to get in. Did you notice that transition from youth wrestling to high school, where it's like, wow, I'm wrestling like actual men now?
No. So since I was probably in fifth or sixth grade, I was wrestling with older people. Like I was in the high school group from the time I was in like sixth grade. It's like, I always wrestled with those guys. So that wasn't new necessarily, but even like my freshman year, like I was still a little boy up and, you know, like I wasn't, you know, Medora was 19 and like matured. So I was still 15 and like little boy muscles and stuff. So, but I actually do think I don't know if I hit puberty or what it was, but like middle of the season, I started like maturing and getting a lot stronger. And I even felt that in the times I wrestled them from beginning to the end. And maybe that was just getting used to wrestling those older guys. And maybe that was something me, developing physically more, but yeah, there was definitely a change that I had to adjust to.
And I hate to bring up a sore spot here. Oh, sorry, Steve.
Oh, wait, go ahead. You bring that up and then throw it over to me. I got a couple things for Scott before we start going on to those four times state championships.
Sounds good. You both can take us through this one. I hate to bring up a sore spot here, but here's the thing. We can't talk about any losses for the last 3 years of your career. And I originally thought you just had two on your slate with Medora. But I saw the loss to Ben Bradell to Freedom in the second match. And that's kind of why I asked the question, because I thought it was maybe like a welcome to high school moment for you. And I'm guessing, you know, losses are few and far between for you. If one of you, we'll have Scott take us through that match and then just how Braden responded afterwards.
Yeah. I guess that's a line you probably heard quite a bit after that. It was a little bit of like welcome to high school. I'm not in the sense that like that loss should have happened. Not like he was going to step up against a bunch of people he couldn't handle. It was more so just that high school wrestlers can definitely pull some crap out of their sleeve if they need to get a win. And that's what went down there in that match. It was a neat move. And I mean, Braden also, is really good at giving credit wherever it's at. It's not like he got all salty and like, you know, hates this guy now as a game his first high school loss. It's more like a little bit of a, oh, hey, you got me on that. So, which was like, it was like a double standing, like double arm trap, kind of like Russian tie to trapping the opposite arm and stepping through to a trip. And that's what he got him on. And, it was a lightning fast pin, and Braden was up by, I don't know, probably 11 or 12 points at that point. And that's how it went. It happens.
It's funny you say all that, because I was texting with Brad Baker, the head coach of Freedom, and I asked him and Matt Verbaeten that trivia question. And I, obviously, he was quick to point out, he said, we're not going to give that win away. But he said, it should be noted that Braden was up 13-0 at that time of the fall. So Brad Baker quickly gave credit where credit was due. But I just thought it was really impressive that after that loss, you went on and beat Gavin Model 9-3. So that same day. So that was a nice bounce back.
His dad said for sure, like, Braden's probably not going to let that happen again.
Hey, T, can I jump in here quick? I would ask Scott this, because there's two things I noticed. One, my questions are really long, so just sit back and take it away whenever you think there's a question that's being asked. But I love sitting back and watching kids develop, and I kind of look and see how kids react to certain situations. And there's two things I notice. One, I follow you guys a lot on social media, Kewaskum Wrestling. It looks like, Scott, you got a pretty good program that you guys are developing. But I got to tell you, it seems like Braden is a big part of that. I know you guys have like off-season wrestling and Sunday night wrestlings, and it always seems like Braden's there. And I did see one picture on social media, and it's got some – looks like a little fifth grader, you know, he's kind of like a chubby little fifth grader, and he's looking at Braden, and you can see Braden working a move with him. And it's like, it was the coolest picture ever. I wish I would have reposted it and put it on ours. If you can find that particular one, Scott, I know it's a lot of pictures, but I got to go back and find it. It's like this kid's just, Braden's taking his time and working with this young little kid. And talk about that, of what Braden has meant to your program. And number two is this, I think when you were a junior, Braden, I think the team that I was working with, my son was wrestling for, they were at three different tournaments that you guys were at. And now Braden could be the showboat of the whole place, because everywhere he goes, he's the super stud, right? But I always kind of looked and I'm like, where's Braden Scholes right now? And he always seems to be in the quietest, most unassuming corner away from people as far as he possibly can, where he could be walking around like, hey, I'm a big dog and everybody look at me, but he's off way away from the limelight. And I, you know, somewhere in there, there's a question, take it away. Tell us about, other than Braden, you know, Braden best on here. So tell us a little bit about Braden and what people don't see all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we got to rewind back to Braden coming in as a freshman and not saying a peep and actually kind of acting pretty much nervous and super quiet in the wrestling room, you know, even though he could level everybody in there and knew that, it was just more so like, I'm a freshman and there's all these juniors and seniors in the room and didn't know what his place was. And I got to give some credit to a couple of those seniors and juniors that kind of opened the shell for Braden a little bit, like got him to kind of smirk for the first time. Now he's laughing, now he's talking, you know, and kind of broke him out of that shell. But then, you know, obviously along with his kind of freshman fame that he drew in Kewaskum, I interviewed Braden at our home wrestling youth tournament. And that was one of the coolest things I've ever done. Just a gym full of kids and parents just listening to him talk about his mindset, which is amazing. But he in that interview said something along the lines of like this, he's found this purpose of helping others. And if you know, like some of the other phrases he already said tonight, it's just what he finds to be enjoyable is the best things we could ask for. And he absolutely loves helping everybody in our program, not only on our team, but that anytime we have an open gym or we stayed after for our club kids practices, And I have tons of pictures that it's just kids crawling on him. He's wrestling, you know, 10 first graders at once. And, you know, but yeah, it's just, it's his talent has energized our program. Now that's obviously natural phenomenon, but, to have him there and he calls kids by their names, he says, you know, hey, Tyler, how's it going? You know, how was your weekend? Like, just absolutely start shooting it with him right away. And it's just such like personable care for others. And it's drawn everybody into our room. So we can have a Sunday open gym and we have 30 people show up, you know, from kindergarten through 12th grade. And they all want to be there. Partially, I think a lot of cases in the little kids' eyes, they want to be there knowing Braden's going to be there. I mean, he's a absolute superstar to the youth. I mean, I think everybody else just wants to be there and learn because they see the way he likes to be at practice and learn too. So there's a lot of angles to that. That's a really big question. And we could talk forever about how Braden's done a lot for our program, but I think it really is just it's a K-12 focus. And we kind of do that with our coaching and our program is starting to build that way. But it's a lot through him. He cares about the smallest tykes up to the people that are wrestling next to him in the lineup. And it's awesome.
So. Good stuff. Well, hey, we got a little bit more podcast here to flesh out Mr. Skull. So I'm sure we'll touch on a few more points with that. Braden, we can't talk about your freshman year, of course, without bringing up Mr. Aiden Medora. And I guess the first question I got to ask, Aiden's also an AWA guy. You guys were in the same sectional. Did you wrestle each other in the club scene a lot?
No, I never wrestled him. I guess because he was 3 or 4 years older than me. So I guess, you know, when you're a junior, you're probably not going to step down and wrestle with an eighth grader that, you know, isn't all that good. Not that I wasn't good, but, and also I went to Mequon wrestling for Max and he went to AWA wrestling for Ben. So it was a little different. But no, I never wrestled with him other than those four matches we wrestled.
Well, and I had to ask because I rewatched your state finals match and, the scrambles that you guys got into, it looked like you made it look so easy. It looked like casual flow. I don't want to say casual, but like you made it look so easy. Just you guys were in like a flow state almost while you were in a few of those scrambles. It was just such high level wrestling. And in my head, I was like, this looks like two guys who are really familiar with each other. And I guess at that point, it's your fourth match of the year. But were you pretty familiar with Aiden at all going into your first match with him?
No, not really. I didn't know what to expect. So I worked with Jason at Bursitis a lot that year. So my eighth grade freshman and then sophomore year, I wrestled with him every week. And so he was kind of the one that was getting me ready to wrestle Aiden prior to the first time I wrestled him. And one of the big things is we knew he was going to be really physical. He was going to come out with hard collar ties. He was going to try to overwhelm me because I was younger. He was going to try to make me break right away, right? But the way he taught me is if I could withstand his pace and his intensity for 2 or 3 minutes, I could beat him. In the first match, I gave up too much early that it didn't matter by the time he got really tired and frustrated. So I didn't have enough to come back. But and also we wrestle in similar systems. So he wrestled for Ben, I wrestled with Max. Obviously they teach similar stuff. Mm-hmm. We probably wrestled similar positions and like we knew each other that way. So yeah.
So you talk about that first match. That was at on the water at the semifinals. 8-1, 7-5. You guys then wrestle later. You beat him at 10-5 at the TKO. Did you make any adjustments between those two matches, or are you one of those guys where it's all right? I just need to wrestle my match and whatever happens, happens.
No, I did make adjustments. I remember one conversation, or probably multiple conversations that I had with Scott was I couldn't give up so much early. In my first match, I gave up too much early that when he did get tired, he could just stall it out and he would still win. So we focused on was holding good position in the first, getting my escapes, easy, riding them hard, getting them tired, and then putting it on them in the third. So that's what we did in that match. Those are conversations I had with Scott that, so I guess that was kind of the game plan we implemented, and it worked really well then.
Scott, how many times did you watch that first match before they faced off against each other again?
Not a ton. I got a photographic memory when it comes to wrestling, so I can walk you through the whole thing right now just from watching it the first time. But no, I didn't watch it a ton, but that was, I mean, it's more of a, not necessarily a be prepared for this type of technique thing. When it's at that level, it's okay, what do we need to make sure we achieve in the first period? And okay, now the second period, we're going to start to see this happen. Now in the third period, we're going to stomp on it, you know? It's just that mindset talk. Because, I mean, when it comes to those guys at that level, it's not like, oh, Aiden's got this one thing or Braden's got that one thing. It's like, man, they both have an arsenal. Got to just be ready to go to town. So
series tied up 1-1. We're going to jump right to the postseason here. And end sectionals. Aiden wins 6-5 against Braden. I'm pulling up the box score here real quick. And, wow, a lot of fun things going on in that third period. It kind of looks like, I mean, I can kind of see it, you use that same strategy because I see the two stall calls on Aiden in the third period. But take us through that sectional finals match real quick, Braden.
Yeah, that was a bad match. But I gave up. I remember I came out really flat. I had a bad weight cut, I think. And I don't know. Whatever was going on, no excuses, but I let my hands get away from me in the first. I gave up unsportsmanlike because I kind of slapped him, but he kind of deserved it too, so I don't feel real bad. So I remember I was down early. I gave up another takedown or two, and then in the third, it went my way again where I was putting it on him. But again, kind of like that first match, I was too far out of reach already. And I did some bad things. I didn't finish real well. So I think I ended up getting a stall call like in the last, I think it was really 6-4, and I got a stall call at the end because he turned his back to me and put his hands up. But I don't know. Not a good match.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was like a good match from a fan perspective, but I can see where you're coming from as well. I gotta ask here, going into your state tournament. So when it comes to competitions, do you like get nervous for competitions then? Or what's your, like, how do you feel going into tournaments? Especially we'll talk about your first state tournament.
No, I don't really get nerves. That's never been a big problem of mine. I'm pretty relaxed, and the guys I'm around, being around the team, they're all pretty loose, cracking jokes and stuff. So it's hard to be real uptight around them. And especially going into my freshman year, like there was no pressure on me. You know, a lot of people weren't expecting me to win. They kind of thought my one win was a fluke. So it's like, I'm a freshman going up against a 2-time state champ. Like there's no pressure on me. He was feeling all the pressure. So that one was really easily, mentally.
And Scott, just from being on with you for a couple of shows, you're a great speaker. I mean, it seems like you don't even need to waste the energy on pep talks with these guys. It just seems like they find a way to get themselves fired up here.
Oh, Braden would tell you we have some pep talks in our room, but I did set down Braden before that Medora match, though. I mean, he likes to say he doesn't have nerves, but I think I was seeing some nerves there in the hotel room before that match. Once he gets down on the floor, his brain is set, but like, you know, it was that hour or so before even heading over to the stadium that like, okay, I'm just in this hotel room and waiting, and like it just starts to, you start thinking a lot. And I remember chatting basically with him about what he just said. It's like, hey, like this isn't even a necessary win. Everybody in this state already knows that you're unbelievable and took him out before, and like just focusing on like win or lose this match, it's going to be a great time and it's going to be a hell of a show. And I don't know. I think he kind of went, oh yeah, all right, yeah, let's go have some fun, you know. It was cool. And then I mean it was helpful that he got to respond, because that's how those two went. was, you know, Aiden got a win, Braden got to come back and respond, Aiden got to respond, and then we got to respond at the right time. So it worked out that way too.
So Braden, in that match against Medora in the finals, you're down one going into the third period. Medora chooses down. And what's your mindset in the final minute as you're riding them? Like, are you thinking like, okay, I got to let them up here, or just take us through the last minute of that match in regulation, we'll say, and then just take us through your mindset through that whole minute.
Yeah. So going into the match, the game plan was to ride them really hard because one, he had never really proven that he could get away from me. I'd always kind of cut him and stuff and not made him work for it. And two, I thought I could turn him. And I actually got pretty close to turning him with that leg in, but it was actually probably a blessing that I think the ref stalemated us and brought us up, if I remember correctly, which is probably really good because I don't know, I might have spent the rest of the, I wouldn't have spent the rest of the match on the mat, but I might not have cut him when I did. And who knows, maybe I would have got a stall call or something, but yeah, it was good that we got stalemated. And then looking over at Scott, my brother, and Ben, it was, let's cut him and go get him.
Well, I think what was really impressive with that match is just the timing of which you use certain moves. Because I think you guys might have been in an over-under and you chose to step over the hip, which can be a dangerous move. But you had 15 seconds left, and talk about utilizing a move at the right time. I think you ended up getting the leg hooked. You snuck the arm out and got that takedown at the end. Take us through the emotions, man, when you got that takedown. First of all, folks, highly recommend going to that match. Just the amount of high-level wrestling that you get to see in 6 minutes and 44 seconds is unbelievable. Because you guys spent about 30 seconds scrambling in that overtime period. And then you end up, I think it's it was a counter shot where you hit like basically like a blast double on him right to his back. When you got that takedown and you got the win, just what were your emotions at the time?
Honestly, I have no idea, because it's like you can't think in that, because I'm still in wrestling mode. Like, I just went balls out for 2 minutes straight. Like, I'm not thinking about, oh, I just want to say title and this and that. And I'm not a real like emotional person. I don't show my emotions. But I just remember hearing like the roar. Like, I couldn't hear like anything but just the noise. So I remember looking over and seeing Scott going crazy and stuff, but I don't know. But yeah, it was cool. It was a cool match.
So you guys are a good pairing, because you know that Scott can handle the emotions for you in competitions. He can be the guy that kind of expresses everything.
Someone's got to be really freaking
Scott, how are you feeling during the last couple minutes of that match?
Oh my god. I mean, I don't want to call them miracles, because Braden knows what he's doing. You mentioned that step over, and that made my heart sink of the things that could happen there. And then, I mean, what a tough match to ref too. I actually got to get some reffing compliments there, because they were on it and giving some patience there for that to be a takedown as it should have been. And that scrambling, I mean, just awesome stuff. We've reviewed that overtime scramble. We came back to our youth tournament, like, what was it, a couple days or a week later, it was that year or something, and we did like a demo through that whole final scramble and how it came out to be a double finish. And man, I don't know, that was a lot of I mean, it takes a long time for that to set in, and that just happened, you know. Mm-hmm. It's that way as an athlete, and then it's cool to see that it's the same way as a coach too. It takes you about 7 days, and then you're like, man, yeah, that was all reality. It's true. So it's cool stuff.
And we're actually gonna, I made a little error here. We're gonna jump backwards a little bit, and sorry for taking your thunder here, Steve. I know you like asking when there's a moment during the four-time run where maybe there was a little scare, and obviously the Medora finals is the obvious one, but when you look at that bracket from that year, Braden's quarterfinals match against Lowell Arnold from Portage, who ended up being a state runner-up, it was last year, I think. Braden won 5-3. I looked into that box score a little more, and only saying this because we interviewed him first, but It was a Braden Sonnentag-esque match in that Braden Scholes was up by one, or he was up going into the third period, and just got the ride out there. Did we feel at any time during that match from either of you two where it's like, oh man, I gotta like kind of kick it into gear here? It's like, oh, like this guy could potentially win this match.
Honestly, not really. And also, that score is wrong. It was 7-3. They missed the score. It should have been 7-3. But
oh, that takes away the drama of it. Yeah,
they awarded me a takedown and never marked it on the scoreboard. So I don't know. So yeah, I guess it could have been bad, but I never thought that he really proved that he could ever score on me. He got one reversal. I got a little sloppy in my riding, but he never came close to taking me down. I didn't think he could really get away with from me other than the reversal. And a lot of it was just, I was riding him hard and he was just laying on his belly. I wasn't getting any stall call. I gave him another point because I think I bent his fingers or something, which I do a lot apparently, but I don't know. I know from the scoreboard, it looked really close, and he's a phenomenal wrestler. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's very good, but I felt very in control of that match the whole time. So I guess different perspectives, you see it different ways. But I was very confident in my ability to close that match out.
Well, I'm glad you brought the different perspective thing, because Steve and I, Braden Sonnentag, had like five matches that were within a point, and every time we asked him, like, hey, were you nervous at all during that? He's like, nah, we kind of knew we were going to end up winning that one. Scott, a takedown left off the board, man. I mean, obviously you feel confident in Braden's ability to close out that match, but did you argue that at any point? Or how does that even happen, I guess?
I'm trying to remember. I didn't know that news, a takedown. I mean, I'm sure I had to have known at the moment.
You did, Scott. You were mad about it.
yeah. So I probably had to trash that one. I probably had to take that angry thought and get rid of it. Because I tend to pipe up too much at the table workers sometimes. But
because that's not even an official error. That's a clerical error on the scorekeeping part.
Yeah. And then, I mean, if it mattered though, you know, that's usually if I'm going to call people into the table, it's got to be if it's gonna change a result or not. And that one didn't need it. So, but Braden's had some close, you know, just on the top of those close matches, he's had some others. So like, what was that match? It was also on the water match your freshman year. I think it was your match before Medora, and wasn't it? Or something, that was like a 0-1 or 1-2 match or something.
It was who was it? Yeah, I can think of the guy too. It was a really close match. I think I got the ride out to win it. I can't think of the guy's name right now.
I'll see if I can pull it up here. Noah Leesgang of Ashwaubenon.
Yeah, Leesgang, yeah.
And that was a very low action match. The guy was obviously just very controlling, and he had controlling ties, and not a whole lot happened there. So I remember that one match always stands out to me, because I remember grab Braden after that, like, hey, what was going on there? Like, nothing was happening. I'm not used to that idea. He's like, well, the guy clamped on into these ties. We couldn't do much. I think the guy had a mean underhook, and it was like tough to do much.
Yeah, he pulled me down a lot.
So real interesting here. I'm excited to see the response on this one, because I know a lot of people were upset that essentially the world got shut down after, you know, once the pandemic hit right after your freshman season ended. But Braden, just knowing you a little more now, and I'm saying this a little tongue in cheek, but thinking about the fact that competitions are shut down and you basically just have practice opportunities, this almost had to have been your dream for a little bit, where it's like, hey, we're just going to be practicing for the next, whenever this pandemic ends here. And it's fun. We hear different responses. Grayson Clark brought up how he took 3 to 4 months to recover. Braden Sonnentag, he went out and tried to find every opportunity he could. Rhett kind of did the same thing. Now, what did you do once the pandemic hit?
Once the pandemic hit, that was right after state, my freshman year. So we were lucky we even got the state tournament in, but I think everything got shut down. I probably didn't practice for like 2 months, something like that. We just couldn't, like, everything was shut down because everyone thought it was really serious. But, so I think I was probably still working out at my house and stuff. But after that, we went back to wrestling at AWA once we kind of could. We had like really small groups and we had to like hand sanitize and do stupid stuff before we wrestled. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I thought a lot of ridiculous stuff, in my opinion. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not.
Whatever. It's your show, man. Just keep rolling.
I don't know if I'm going to get canceled or something. I don't know. Whatever. I can't get it. But then probably summertime, we kicked back into normal wrestling. I was wrestling 5 days a week again. As far as the season, it did kind of suck just because we had to practice in masks every day. So that was annoying and we weren't competing, but I didn't mind it. I was still getting better. I was still enjoying the sport. I didn't compete a lot. I probably didn't compete from state tournament then until maybe high school season. I think I did one thing in the fall, but yeah, I didn't compete a lot and that was fun. I was getting better. I think I actually made it a lot of growth. I put on some weight. So it was all right.
So during that 2 months where you weren't really in a wrestling room, you know, where was your head at? You said, you know, obviously you got to, you said you did some workouts, but were you missing it or did you just use that time to kind of recover from the sport a little bit?
No, I was definitely missing it. It was like, you go from this really high point, you know, you win state and you're like, all right, now it's time. I wanted to go make a cadet world team. That was my goal. So that was like my next competition I was kind of getting ready for. And it goes from that to nothing. And it was one thing if the tournament got shut down, but there was like no wrestling. I missed that a lot. And I'm really antsy. I don't do well just sitting at home watching TV and stuff. So I got five siblings. Three of them, I think, still lived with me at that point. So we were doing a lot of stuff, probably annoying my mom a lot. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not real good at, I'm pretty antsy, so I got busy, but I would have rather been in a wrestling room.
So going to the end of your sophomore year, a lot of duels wrestled that year. Basically just duels wrestled your sophomore year, going right into the postseason. This result hits home a lot more now that we know how good this guy is, but you make it look easy against Owen Heiser of Evansville. You tech him in the finals there. And I guess the first question for you, Scott, are you jumping out of the chair celebrating like you did the first time around? Or after, you know, the second time around, is it like, all right, yeah, like we just took care of business? Like, where's your head at after having a two-time state champ as a sophomore?
I like to celebrate. And I like to jump around in the corner too. So, I mean, if it's a state finals, it's a state finals. I don't care if it's expected or not. So I think I was pretty pumped up, you know, I mean, especially going out there that year and just making that statement, like teching through the tournament too. It's so awesome. And I mean, obviously we knew those guys were good wrestlers too. So what he did in the finals was a big statement. I guess that's the word I like to use with Braden a lot, was after his first state championship anyway, it's like, hey, let's make another statement. You're still getting better. Braden and I don't want anybody sitting here that this is like so expected. Like, let's go make another statement. Hey, you're still getting better. You know, I love that.
Nice.
So,
Braden, how are you feeling after that second state title?
I don't really remember. I remember being upset later on because a lot of people were saying I had an easy run and nobody was really giving Owen Heiser a lot of credit. And they're saying he wasn't very good and that I had an easy D2 bracket. So I remember being pissed off about that like later on. And I knew how good Owen Heiser was and everyone saw what he did the next year. So I just felt like people were kind of discrediting me. And I wasn't real happy about that, but, I don't remember a whole lot.
Well, it's funny that people were thinking that because Aiden Medora was 4 points away, I think, combined from being a four-time state champion himself. Like, he was a very heralded wrestler. So I figured after your freshman year, there would have been no questions left on the table about how good of a wrestler you were. But
right.
Wow, that's interesting to hear that perspective, that there are still people that, you know, maybe didn't think you were as legitimate as you actually were.
There's always somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been me just taking little comments personally, because I probably do that more than I should. But that's the way I took it. It was just little offhand comments about, oh, you did pretty easy run this year and stuff like that. And I don't know. Wow. Maybe it was just me taking it more personally than I should have, but it annoyed me.
Before moving on to the next part of our show, I'd like to talk to you about the World Gold Wrestling Takedown and Hand Fighting Camp. If you only attend one summer camp this offseason, it should be the World Gold Wrestling Takedown and Hand Fighting Camp. Three-time Olympian Dennis Hall has spent four decades honing the best ways to set up and score on his opponents and now wants to pass that information on to your child. Are you tired of seeing your athlete taking bad shots and getting stuck underneath or scored upon? The skills presented will help athletes understand the importance of the setup and learn how to recognize the moments in time that open up from hand fighting properly, allowing higher percentage scoring opportunities. This is an all-inclusive live-in camp. All food and on-site lodging is included. We also have many recreational activities available between sessions. The cost of the camp is $350. Multi-athlete families receive a 50% discount on each additional athlete after the first full-price athlete. We are also running our top and bottom camp starting immediately after the completion of the takedown and hand fighting camp again this year. This allows athletes looking for a longer experience to stay an entire week. Anyone staying for both camps gets a reduced rate of $600 for both. Registration is available through Track Wrestling, on-site, or by text or call. You can also find links to register on our website, thebeastcage.com. Please direct any questions to Brian Bach by text or call at 715-459-4090 or by email at obsessedwrestler36@gmail.com. This has historically been our most popular camp. Space is limited, so sign up today. Let Coach Hall's almost 30 years of coaching experience help your athlete dominate their opponents on the feet with proven methods that work at the highest levels in the world. And now back to the show. So after your sophomore year, you had a great state run. And, you know, you talk about how goals wise you kind of set it more in practice where it's how am I doing against this guy I'm practicing against. But at what point, you know, it could be your sophomore or junior year, did you start thinking about goals after high school wrestling or beyond just the high school season, whether it be like, oh, could I be a Fargo champ? Could I, you know, make a world team or something? Or what can I do in college? When did you start thinking about those potential outcomes?
I would say probably after my freshman year is when my mind started turning to bigger things. It's like you win a state title and what else? I won probably the biggest match I was going to win my freshman year at state. So if you just keep focusing on, oh, I just want to win another state title, you never push yourself. You're never getting better. So I'd say like immediately after that, like I said, I turned to UWW cadets, which obviously got canceled. And then it turned to like nationally, I wanted to win Fargo and stuff like that. So yeah, I'd say right after my freshman year is when that started, being the bigger focus and the bigger goals.
Now that we're getting into your junior year, you know, a few years have passed by in high school and, you know, I don't really see any character flaws with you, Braden, but a coach spends a lot more time with you. And I'm not talking about character flaws, but Scott, what growth did you see in Braden from his freshman to his junior and even senior year?
I mean, he refuses to stop like questioning his techniques and all the small things. I mean, that's a thing. So like, yeah, I know he likes to use these measurements of like who he's able to take out or who he can wrestle in practice. But what I see of Braden that I've almost never seen in another athlete is consistently coming into a room, even a more basic room, like, you know, if we're comparing our high school room to his AWA room and his competitors and that stuff, like he comes into our room and consistently has something on his mind that he's working on technically. And I think that sums up a lot of his overall growth, because a lot of wrestlers go ahead and say like, oh, you know, I know the high crotch. I know a single leg. I know you can bring it high. I know you can finish it with a trip. But a lot of them stop at that point. They say, like, I know it, so I must be really good at it. And it's like Braden the last year has been just hammering high crotches, but it's like, what setups am I going to get in there? And he's just getting really precise with it. He's challenging himself with a left-sided high crotch. He's been doing it for the last 2 years. And his junior and senior year, it turned into, okay, I'm hitting like left-sided high crotches all the way through the state tournament. I'm awful at them. And I'm going to like get better at it right here, right now. And I just think that that really started to shine a lot more his junior and senior year, because it's like now I just need to keep finding that next thing that's going to be something that I can improve. And he's so constant with it. Like I never see him come into the room, whether it's 6 a.m. or 3 p.m., without like, this is something I'm doing right now. Like, I'm coming up here to work on this, you know. And that's what makes him what he is, and talent-wise. Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that constant approach to getting better, you know, that's something, you know, against 99% of guys, you know, you're not going to notice that if he chose, you know, not to get better every day. But, you know, if he's on that side where it's, oh, I don't need to improve, you might see a loss against Charlie Millard this year. You might not see as much success on the college level. But since you have that mindset, Braden, I think that's why we're going to see you do good things, you know, not just in your high school career, but going forward as well. And just going to the end of your junior year here, you do beat – oh, I didn't even have the state tournament up. There it is. You do beat Eddie Symes at 15-3 in the finals. I'm just going to go right to the question. Do you remember how you felt after that one?
No. I don't know. I felt good. I was happy. You know, I was happy to spend the night with my family and friends, I'd say.
Was it nice to be back in the Kohl Center?
It was, actually, and I don't care if the state tournament's in a high school gym or if it's in the Kohl Center, but the Kohl Center is a really sweet setup. And I don't think a lot of high school athletes get to experience things like that. And that's super cool that Wisconsin Wrestling is able to give its athletes that opportunity. So yeah, that was really cool. I was happy he was back.
And then coach, again, big celebration afterwards.
Always. It's another state title. And I guess, of course, by then we're also starting to celebrate a lot of the other guys that we had going down there too. So, yeah, we're celebrating. It's hard now entering junior year and senior year, which is going to be a chat too, I'm sure. But it's just hard to not treat it like it's we're just flowing through now, or like this is something that's expected. So. I don't know. I would definitely put it out upon my shoulders, or any coach that's like, it's your job to make sure that that is still a very awesome experience. So, cause it is.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. I know I just looked it up. Three guys qualifying for state that year from Kewaskum, and there's no shortage of postseason success from Kewaskum. But I remember seeing, you know, Merritt's, and then I think an older Skulls too, quite a few years back. You always see Kewaskum on the state level, but I think even the team all around, it's kind of where around Braden's junior year, you kind of see the fruits of what you guys as coaches are doing, but also, you know, Braden helping out the youth program as well. It's where you see the team start to really come through as a whole. And we'll actually talk some team stuff first here, because Braden, you seem very team oriented. It's easy to tell by your actions and your words. What did it mean for you guys to get back to team sectionals with the crew that you had this year?
That meant everything to me. That was after my sophomore year, that was my biggest goal. Is I wanted to win. I wanted to win conference as a team, and I wanted to go to team state as a team. Our high school's never been to team state, and it's been a while since we've won a conference title. So that was, and we, us, the guys there and the coaches, we put so much time in. We built that program so much. If you look back from our team from sophomore year up until when I graduated, like, it's night and day. And I think as a program, we made so much progress, and I know we're going to continue to do that. So yeah, that was really cool to see and be a part of.
Yeah, coach, on your side of the experience, first team sectional appearance in 5 years. You've actually been a part of most of the team sectional appearances for Kewaskum, but you know, with that 5-year gap there, what did it mean to you as a coach to get back to that level?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's from a coaching perspective, it's definitely feels like, you know, you're doing something right or you're bringing it back around. And again, I just got to give a ton of credit to Braden. I mean, we have kids in our varsity lineup who are on their second year of wrestling. They just want to come out and be part of this team and experience. They're joining as freshmen or sophomores in high school. And, you know, due to Braden, and we have the bar set pretty high in our room right now as far as like the growth mindset, but like making sure that we are all improving as much as we possibly can. We've taken these two or three year wrestlers, and like they're winning matches for us. Mm-hmm. and it's cool to see that. And I think hopefully that keeps spiraling. I mean, Kewaskum, our struggles have been numbers in the past. And it's like, I'm hoping that is a problem that's dead and gone, because like everybody wants to be a part of this team now. And our whole school, of course, we're stomping around gymnasiums talking about wrestling. So hopefully it's not over talking about wrestling, but every kid in our school right now knows what wrestling is. So
well, Brady, you talk about getting back to Team State. You guys wrestled Prairie du Chien. They went, I think it was 47-30. And Prairie du Chien was an amazing team this year. I think everyone was picking either them or Luxembourg Casco. But I think even seeing that score made me realize, like, wow. Steve, I think every week on the show we were like, wow, we knew Kewaskum was good. We didn't know they were that good. Yeah. And I think that was kind of the punctuation. And it's weird to say that after a loss, but I think that says a lot to how good your guys' team was. You know, for that duel, obviously you're expecting to go in and win that. Did you have a road to victory planned out for that one, Scott?
I'm going to pass that one on to Braden. I'll see what thoughts he has on that first, if you don't mind.
To be honest, they were the better team. We weren't winning the duel. And that's just being a realist. I would never tell the guys on the team that. And like going in, we were going to fight and we're going to take every match we could. But I mean, just in reality, we probably weren't winning the duel. We're going to have to pull off probably 3 to 4 upsets, pretty big upsets, to actually have a chance. And that's just the reality of it. You know, they're an established program. And we're on that, in that direction. You know, I'll take our chances against them next year, you know? But it's just, yeah, I don't know if there was a road to victory for us besides everything going in our favor, but I would never tell our guys on the team that. So, yeah.
Well, the thing is you guys hit them with your best shot. It seems like you guys gave the best possible result that you could have, or at least, you know, very close to, which is awesome. You didn't just lay down when you got in there. And B, you know, looking at your team, you guys are young. You've started to build numbers. Prairie du Chien was doing the same exact thing a few years ago where they were building numbers, and now they've made the state 4 times. So it's kind of cool to see these two programs kind of at these different points. And, you know, it's especially awesome, Braden, that you got to be the one to, you know, on the wrestling side of things, to kind of lead the charge for your peers. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, great leaders plant the seed so that future leaders can sit in the shade. And whether it be next year, 5 years, or 10 years down the road, if Kewaskum's at Team State, they win Team State, whether you're on the roster or not, your name's going to be tied to that. And I think that's probably one of the best accomplishments you can hang your hat on.
We preach the heck out of that. Sorry, Brandon. I was just saying, we preach the heck out of that. And I mean, as a good captain program too, you know, a lot of schools do a lot of different stuff with captains and leaders. And I think that's something that we are honing in on really well right now. And it's through Braden that you're setting that captain bar really high. But the point is that it's not just this little like vote in, you're a captain for a year and you get your name on a little plaque. It's like, no, your waves are going to echo in this program well after you're gone. And we know that that's going to be true for Braden. You know, when we do make it to Team State someday, and when we do start winning conference titles, I'm going to be on the for what he's done. He could be a junior, senior in college, you know, and I mean, he's going to be there watching. So, or he'd be somewhere watching, right? But then the next captains need to know that too. you need to be such an influence that this program is going to be thanking you well after you're gone. So Braden set that bar, though. Like, he's really made that a thing.
Yeah, Braden, do you want to expand on that at all?
I think you covered it pretty good. Like you said before, prior to Sheen, 5-6 years ago, they're probably where we are, you know? But this is our second, third year building. You take us in another year, 2-3 years. I think we're only going up from here. So yeah, I think Scott pretty much covered that.
That's good stuff, man. So that's the team stuff from your senior year. Just talking, we'll jump right to individual state here. There had to be some thoughts after winning your fourth title, right? Whether it be like excitement or like, oh, okay, at least I got like that little weight off my chest. You know, what was going through your head after you won your fourth one? You did beat Owen Wosley, the second Owen that you beat in the finals. I just realized that. But you tech-balled Owen Wosley in the finals. Take us through the last moments of that match and then just how you were feeling afterwards.
Honestly, just a lot of emotions. You know, you go through day to day, you go through going 2 workouts a day every day in Kewaskum Wrestling, and then it's funny, like, you get to that moment and it's not so much like, yes, I made history, I won 4 state titles. It's more like, all right, this is over, you know? And it's like that emotions of I'm finally done here, you know? And it's like waking up every day and pouring your heart into something and then it's over, you know? And it's bittersweet because it had to end at some point. And it's time to move on, obviously, but it was more so that emotions than even winning 4 state titles. Just like, I put everything I had into that program for 4 years. And in the culmination of that, it was over, you know? Definitely those emotions, and just really thankful for everyone that was there along the ways. I guess, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's how I was feeling.
Not only did it make sense, I think that might've been one of my favorite responses I've ever heard on this show. I honestly got like a little misty eyed hearing that, like just knowing like that one of your first thoughts was thinking about like the end of being with the program. And that just speaks to, you know, we learned a lot about you on this show, but that speaks volumes to the type of person you are. And, you know, Scott, on that end of things, of course, your last match with Braden, so I'm sure you're feeling that. What was the joy that you felt after Braden won his 4th state title?
Yeah, it was a lot of emotions too. I had some things coming out of me in my eyes, maybe, because I'm extraordinarily grateful that I get to sit mat side with Braden Scholes, and I know, you know, what he's going to be able to go on and do. And when that ticks down, you know, third last match, second last match, the last match, you know, because I'm not going to be able to sit corner side for Braden Scholes ever again. He's going to have much better professionals doing that for him now. So it's it's just been a really good run, and it's been really, really awesome. And I know everything he's done for a program. I mean, like, Braden's done a lot for me within coaching. You know, he's grown everybody around him, including myself. So it was emotional. It's really cool. It's a privilege to be down on the state floor with some of these guys. And, you know, it's a few, the list of coaches are, you know, it's a pretty small list. And it's pretty cool to be a part of that and to sit on the side with someone so great. So.
Wow, thank you both for that. I mean, this whole show's been great, but those last couple of questions, those hit home, man. That makes me like want to open the yearbook and like look back at wrestling memories now. That's why I love like in season wrestling so much, is like there's just, when you're wrestling for a program and a community, it just means a lot. It means more than like I can even wrap my head around. And you two, the fact that you two put it into words, I just want to thank you for that. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess before we get into college stuff, Steve, I think we need to loosen it up a little bit here. If you wanna hit us with the speed round of trivia.
What? Wait a minute, loosen it up. So you calling me? What? Can I be
You are the deep guy. I just know you have the trivia on deck.
I'm good. You guys have been nailing it. I've been sitting there thinking, like, I literally go, man, I don't want to ask that, and Tegan nailed it. But I do got a couple follow-up things. I've been on with Brad Baker and Matt Verbaten. I said, hey, we got Braden on and Scott, and they've been bantering back and forth a little bit, but one of them was Tom Plattner. If you guys know Tom Plattner, he's a I said, hey, anything you got for Braden? And Tom Plattner, they said, calls him Smiley. So I don't know if he smiles a lot. That's one of the famous rests. But so Matt Verbaten said, now keep in mind, head coach of Freedom's on this one. He said, hey, does Braden want another shot at the secret weapon, Ben Bradell? Brad Baker responds, and I won't say the word he said, but Ben would crap his pants. I thought that was a pretty good one. So anyway, Teague, this is why I wanted to do trivia right away, but I do have a couple. Hey, Aiden, I'm trying to give the answer away a little bit. Braden, hold on. This is going to go somewhere. Do you know what wrestler in high school that you what individual wrestler in high school that you have wrestled the most times?
Yeah, I do. It's the Fort Atkins kid, Aiden Ford.
Aiden Warden. I gave you the answer away. That's why I called you Aiden, because my son wrestled for Fort Atkins and I teach for Fort. And I tell you what, I think your sophomore, junior, and then your senior year, because you guys went to the Gunslinger. And then you went to the Sun Prairie one, and then you went to the TKO, and I think you wrestled Aiden Warden every single time. I didn't count it up, but I bet you've wrestled him at least 7 times. And then second place was always Cooper Willis. But, yeah, Aiden Warden, pretty good wrestler in his own right. And the kid, poor kid, rarely ever made the finals, because all the time in the semifinals he's wrestling this kid named Braden Scholes. So I just want to see if you knew that one. Teague, I got two trivia questions for you. And you kind of already nailed, I think I get it, but and this is unofficial, right? Cause I was kind of just paging through, and you know how I get distracted. I'm pretty antsy too. I'm kind of like Braden. I forget what the heck I'm doing. But I've counted that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Braden has wrestled 6 that I've counted up, 6 guys that have eventually went on to become state champs. Can you name all 6? We've talked about several on this show. Wow. And the second part to that question is, which one, other than Aiden Medora, which I'm giving you one, I didn't know if you knew that one or not, which one of those other 5 guys took or came the closest score-wise to Braden?
Oh man, that's a great question. I poured through. I mean, I was trying to like find close match results. I just saw a lot of texts and stuff, so I wasn't even focusing on the names.
So Aiden Warden, Owen Heiser, because you already talked about him. Now there's 4 more. There's 4 more that you got to get.
We wrestled DeRosier.
Oh, I didn't see that one. No, he never wrestled DeRosier.
No, Medora might have wrestled DeRosier. I went down a rabbit hole on track wrestling. Man, you got me. Oh, I think I brought up another name too. So Heiser, Medora. Did Willis end up winning a state title? He didn't win it during the COVID year.
He did not. Not that I know of. I didn't have him on there.
Toss a hint my way.
Let's see. We had his coach on. He's the most energetic coach we've ever had. Intensity.
Daly.
Silas Daly. That's
3. Millard. Charlie Millard.
Millard. Yep, that's 4.
I don't know. What are these last 2 here?
All right, I'll give them to you. Tristan Stelp and Brant Craycraft from Michicot.
Oh, that's right. Teched Brant or beat him by 14 or something in the on the water finals.
Which one of those 6 came the closest score wise to Braden?
Well, aside from Medora or what?
Aside Medora, yeah, I already threw that one out. Yep.
No, that one.
A 2-point match with Charlie.
Yeah, you already looked, man. That's a good one, Charlie Millard. All right, second last question. You can.
You go first.
Yeah, what do you got? Did you have an addition to that?
Well, no, I was going to ask Braden. I mean, obviously, because you didn't wrestle Aiden. Did you wrestle Charlie a lot in the practice room?
Yeah, I'm actually really good friends with Charlie. I wrestle him a lot.
So was that one of those moments when you guys wrestled the match? It's like, all right, now we just like have a box score for what we do every week.
Yeah, pretty much. We're pretty familiar. We wrestle on a weekly basis, and there's no bad blood or anything. I love that kid. So, yeah.
Let me tell you, I'll do another recommendation, folks. Watch the Skulls Millard match from the Highlander. Another high level wrestling match. Let me tell you.
And last question, Teague, is that Braden has wrestled obviously 2 different years, right? But he's only wrestled one guy twice at state. Can you name that individual?
It wasn't Ingham, because Ingham was on the opposite side of his bracket his sophomore year. Oh man. I was just looking at all these brackets too. I won't look back, Steve.
Name him? Phone a friend, man. Phone a friend.
Yeah. I'll phone a friend here. Who did Braden wrestle twice at state over those 4 years?
That one I'm stumped on. You know that, Braden?
Yeah, I know who it is. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Carter Friend, correct?
Correct, yep.
Oh, yeah, did you beat him? Was it sophomore and junior year?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Sophomore and junior.
Steve, oh, good trivia, that's, man.
Yeah, you bet. You've been getting mine. You've been getting them, so I've had to go real hard. So, you bet. Go ahead. Talk college, talk future, and then I'll do the speed round of questions after. So you can rock and roll with it.
Yeah, Braden. So, like we said at the start of the show, Illinois commit. Obviously, it probably had a lot of schools interested in you right away. Was that overwhelming for you at all? And if so, or even if it wasn't overwhelming, how'd you handle the recruiting process? And then what eventually led you to choosing Illinois?
Yeah, people probably aren't going to like that I said this either, but I hated the recruiting process. I really disliked it because I'm really bad about answering my phone and stuff. So it's like, I get all these calls and all these texts and I wouldn't answer them. Cause I don't know. I got life going on and stuff. And so these coaches would be mad that I wasn't responding, and they'd be texting Max like, what the heck, why isn't Braden answering his phone and this and that. And I just felt like also they have a job to do. Like they're recruiting me. They're recruiting me as a wrestler for the most part. They're not recruiting me as a person. They don't really care about me as a person. So a lot of it just felt really disingenuous. And I struggle with that a lot. And just like having these conversations with these coaches would be like, hey, you're the greatest thing ever. Like, we really want you. You're our guy. And then knowing that they're saying the same thing to 5-10 other guys, like that same day, you know? And I get it. Like, it's their job. It's nothing against them. I understand it, but I struggle with the recruiting process a lot. And that's why I eventually landed on Illinois, just because they called me at 12:01 the first day we could do recruiting. I didn't even answer because I was sleeping, but it was just like from the start, I felt like they cared the most about me, and I was their guy. I wasn't, you know, 3 or 4 on the list. Like, I was the guy they wanted. And that meant a lot to me and the relationships I built. That's more important than going to the most credentialed school and stuff like that. So,
and if you weren't Scott, totally okay. Were you a part of that recruiting process at all, or did you help like Braden, whether it be fielding questions from coaches or just answering any questions he had?
Just very few questions. We chatted a little bit about my college experience. I know, you know, he asked some questions about Madison. I was there as a freshman. You know, then transferred, so we did not talk too much about UW Oshkosh, but we did chat a little bit about Madison experience there. So other than that, not too much. I didn't do a lot of that with them though.
Also, Braden, I'm sure there's a lot of kids that probably feel that way, where like the recruiting's just overwhelming in general, especially if you're getting as much interest as possible. Yeah, if you don't like answering the phone, then probably not very fun. So no worry, I don't think you're gonna get any negative feedback on that one, but
all right.
you're good. I don't see us getting any negative feedback on this whatsoever, maybe with like me and Steve, but you guys are killing it. But yeah, that's what we got for college stuff. I guess going forward, what are your, do you have any goals for college, whether it be competing or just in general? And then do you have any plans for after college yet? Or is that a bridge we're going to cross when we get there?
That's definitely a bridge we're going to cross when we get there. I mean, I'd like to continue maybe wrestling after college. But obviously if I suck in college, it's not really an option. So kind of got to take care of business as it comes. But yeah, I'd like to, obviously everyone says they want to win NCAA title and do this and that, but, I'm just going to take it as it comes. I'm going to keep getting better. I'm going to keep giving full effort like I always do. I'm going to keep getting better and doing what I can. And if that ends up in NCAA title, then that would be great. And that would be, you know, ideal. And if not, then, you know, it wasn't in the cards for me. And life still goes on. So, but yeah.
I guess the one specific future question, can we see a Coach Scholes in the future?
Yeah, actually, I'd really love to come back and coach. I'd really like to come back to Kewaskum and help coach for Scott until he retires and then eventually take over since I'm a little younger than him. But again, it just depends on a lot of things, you know. There's a lot that goes into life in the next 5 years. So, but I would like to coach. I like helping kids. I like seeing other people reach their goals. So that would definitely be something I would be interested in.
Nice. Well, Scott, looks like you have a replacement, man. I'm guessing you're not upset by that plan at all.
No, that sounds amazing. And all jokes aside, I think you'd be a phenomenal teacher too. So if that helps him with his major decision at any point, that'd be great. And he'd be hired in Kewaskum in a second. So,
well, hey, good stuff. Last big question for you here, Braden. Actually, no, Steve's questions are pretty big because we're starting to keep track of the responses here. If you could give advice to younger wrestlers, what would that advice be? Act like you're going to be giving advice to a younger Braden Scholes.
Yeah, I mean, first off, probably don't everything like Braden Scholes did, because I did a lot of stupid stuff along the way to figure out the right way to do things. But I'd say, honestly, just enjoy it, because it goes a lot faster than you think. If you work hard and enjoy it, then that's the biggest thing. And the other thing is just be proud of where you're from. I feel like, especially kids these days, it's like you get to a pretty high level in middle school and everyone wants to transfer to the big schools and transfer to the better schools. And they kind of forget where they came from and forget what made them. So that's something I took a lot of pride in not doing. I took a lot of pride in being from this small town where everybody counted me out and nobody thought you could do it here. But going on and doing big things here and being really proud of where I'm from. So that'd be one big thing I'd offer to kids. Cause I know that's really hard when you're at their age and you have these goals you want to attain and you only think you can do it a certain way, but you don't have to be a sellout. You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to disrespect the people who got you to where you are to do that. You can do it right where you are.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Well, Steve, you're ready to fire off a few questions here.
You bet. Hey, Braden, before we get to that, what weight are you planning on wrestling in college?
I'm going to start out as a 57, and then hopefully I'll put on some muscle and grow into a 65 eventually.
Nice. Awesome. Well, hey, this is the most important part of the show. It's right here. This question has been asked by many a four-time state champs. This is speed round of questions, and you just answer the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready? This is the hot seat.
I am ready.
All right, here you go. Favorite takedown.
Whatever scores points. I don't care. That's a bad answer, but that's the answer I gotta give. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, it might go the same way. Favorite pinhole.
I like the Campbell Sports stack. Shout out to Dylan Soik.
Oh wait. Can a Kewaskum, somebody from Kewaskum say the word Campbell Sport without getting shunned?
Yeah, I got to pretend to hate him for the most part, but the guys are pretty cool. So
what's the Campbell Sport stack? I just need the description here.
Well, they do it a lot. It's just like cross wrist ride and you stuff the head right under and it breaks your neck in half. And It's nice. All right. But we know most like people, so we're all right. We're no bad blood.
We beat them like this year.
Named after certain towns. That's what my old high school coach did. He'd always say, "Oh, you're going to do this," and it'd be the name of a town that does it. All right, here we go. I think I know the answer to this one. But biggest high school rival, individual.
Biggest high school. I guess Aiden Medora, but yeah.
How about a practice room rival?
Biggest practice. I can't say that without. Yeah, I can't say that without getting in trouble.
Oh, I could, like, it could be like your best friend, even. Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna say it.
All right. Moving on to the next question.
Teague mentioned it before, but I remember when you were a freshman and Braden Merritt, if I'm saying his last name right, Merritt, is that how you say it? Yeah. He was a one mean dude, man. And I remember I said to somebody specifically, I said, I would pay money to come watch those two wrestle each other in practice. So
Braden Merritt is not my biggest rival. I love that kid. He's one of my best friends, but. But yeah, he was one of my favorite training partners ever.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you two went bloody a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we did.
Biggest high school rival team wise,
Winnicott County.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, best your favorite post workout food?
Chocolate milk and Skittles.
Yes, let's go.
First time Skittles makes the list, Teague. Mark it down. All right. Favorite pre-match song or music or walkout song, whatever. Hey, it's go time. You're listening to a song right beforehand. What is it?
Anything Morgan Wallen. I don't really listen to music, but I like to be relaxed. I don't listen to music before I wrestle, but. Anything more about this, would be cool.
If you had you were going to wrestle in college, or it's a big high school match, or it's the finals, and they say, "Hey, Braden, what's your walkout song? We'll blast it throughout the arena. What you want?"
Well, I actually have a song that my teammates made when I was a freshman. it was my own song, so I would blast that. But
can we get a copy of that? I wouldn't share with anyone. I just need to hear this if it's out there somewhere.
Are you sure you want to have this, Jim?
I can see Scott scrolling. I'm like, maybe not.
I think it's on YouTube already.
Is it?
It's a little phone recorded. You got to know what. Well, when you see Braden's clothing line, it says the Spice across it. That's his nickname, so everybody needs to know he's the Spice. And there's a song for that Braden Merritt was a big part of making for him. So it's awesome. It's out there. Nice.
Wow. Awesome.
All right. Last question for speed round is past or present, your favorite wrestler.
Oh, that's tough. I like watching Sinikov a lot.
Nice.
I can't pronounce his first name, so
hey, you don't
74
have to,
kilo Russian wrestler that beat Jordan Burroughs a couple times.
Awesome. Yeah, that's I appreciate it. That's all I got. And I just gotta reiterate, Teague, and you can close it up, is that Scott, we just appreciate having you on. I know the first time we had you on the podcast, I'm like, man, that guy's a great coach. And Braden, I've been excited because, like I said, I've never, I got the same personality as you. I don't really like to, I like to go and sit in a gym kind of far away from people. And I've always seen you over in the corner. I'm like, man, I should go over and talk to him. I'm like, nah, he's jiving. He's getting ready and stuff. But getting you on here and having you chat and share your thinking and having coach talk about you, it's truly an honor. And I just appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been my pleasure.
Braden, I got one last question for you. It could be big if I'm ever in the Kowaskum area someday, but we heard you're a server, you're a busboy at a bar, when you have a job that you do. What was I going to say with that? Do you work during the wrestling season or no?
This is fake news. I am not a busboy anymore. I was a busboy like 2 years ago. I worked at a restaurant in basketball, the Great Outdoors, actually with Austin Blanchard. Me and him worked there. So yeah, I don't do that anymore. I work in the summers. I don't work during the school year just because of time and stuff doesn't work. But I did used to be a busboy. Yes. So if you're in Kewaskum, come eat at the Great Outdoors. Great people.
Good food there.
Yeah, very good food. Highly suggest.
Well, if they have good burgers, Steve will find a way to get me there. Never love, met a bigger burger a fan. I mean, I basically just had the same sentiment Steve had. I know you guys on the same side of the state got to see each other at a few more tournaments. And now, right when you won your fourth, I knew I was excited to have you on. And just, people said you were quiet, but man, we had a lot of fun conversations tonight. And it was just your perspective on a lot of things. It's, you're wise beyond your years, and you have a mentality that's going to take you far in life, whether it be wrestling or not wrestling. So we appreciate having you on and letting us bug you for an hour, almost an hour and a half now. And yeah, Scott, coming on for the second time. Hopefully we have you on in the future. And yeah, I mean, just to hear you both kind of share your experience, and Scott, hearing your coaching perspective of it, it was an awesome time for sure. So thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you again. I'm glad I got the re-invite.
Anytime, man. Well, that's what we got for this show, folks. Next week, we're going to have Chad Stelt on. Might be going live with that one. He's our last state champion coach that we'll be having on. And then getting a few more guests lined up for the future. Might actually have a former coworker of Braden's on the show at some point. I know that knowledge as of about 3 minutes ago, so I'll be looking forward to that later this summer. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. And until next time, we will catch you on the flip side.